presented by Sean Bolger.
Good morning. It's 30 minutes past 11. It's Friday morning, so that means it's time to catch up on the week's news from the travel industry. And joining us once again from APTA in London is Sean Tipton. Sean, good morning and welcome back.
Thank you. Good morning.
So let's start with new. I can't believe this. Albania it could be Europe's next big beach holiday destination. Tell me more.
Well, always as an industry, we're looking for new countries to develop, new destinations to send people to, because, you know, if you look at the number of holidays we've taken over the course of a lifetime, back in the 1970s and 60s, it's quite unusual to go abroad. Not many people did. Now it's quite the reverse. So we're always looking for the new Spain, the new Portugal, and there's only one country left, really, in the Mediterranean that hasn't been developed, and that's Albania. So this is a piece I saw in the Daily Telegraph about whether this will ever become a popular holiday destination, because it's got a coast that it shares. It's on the Adriatic. It borders Greece. It's you know, if you imagine that part of the world, it's pretty spectacular, isn't it? And it is very popular with British holidaymakers. But apart from this one particular country, Now there are a few drawbacks though for Albania in terms of opening up for tourists. And the most important one, I would say, apart from the fact it's quite difficult to get there, they've only got one major airport, and currently only British Airways fly there from the UK. I doubt if there are any direct flights from Spain. I might be wrong there, but probably not. But next year, Wizz Air, which is a low-cost carrier, is going to be launching three flights, so that'll help. But the next problem they've got is simply, where are you going to stay? Because I believe they do have a lot of hotels, but they were built in the kind of the communist era. They're a bit grim. Slightly grim. So I think we've got a way to go yet for Albania. I think it does have potential. It's got a lovely coastline. The people are very friendly, apparently. But yeah, you know, if you're used to staying in the kind of hotels you get in Spain, Portugal and Greece, which are generally very, very good, aren't they? So you know, they've really come in leaps and bounds in the last 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to be too happy staying in a communist era concrete block, are you?
There was a time when actually those kind of East European communist hotels were a selling point in themselves, where you could go back and experience what it was like to live behind the Iron Curtain, have a holiday,
like, driving around in a Trabant as well. Yeah, but still, but I think for most people, if it's going to cost you an arm and a leg to get there, because there's only one airline that flies in, or two currently, or will be next year, and then you stay in a not terribly nice hotel, pretty much a niche market, I would say. But anyway, look for one for the future, maybe next 10 years time when they've got some decent hotels to stay in.
Keep that one on the back burner. All right. Indeed. Now you mentioned British Airways there. There's some news this week, dividing opinion between they've got a new policy coming in, where if you pay the least for your ticket,
you'll get on last.
You're the last to get on. Is that right?
To be fair, that happens with most airlines in a way. You pay for speedy boarding, priority boarding, those kind of things, and that you get on first, don't you? If you've got a first class ticket or a business class ticket, you get on first. So what they're doing, they're just extending that, really, British Airways. But I think the thing is, the way it's been announced, though, it's just a lot of people have got very annoyed about it, saying, you know, they're being discriminated against, and it's the class system in action in air. So I think it's a little unfair, really. It's just a way of making sure that the people aboard the plane in a kind of an organised fashion, but it hasn't been maybe expressed in the best possible way, really. But I wouldn't worry too much if I were you. I fly British Airways quite a lot. I'm always in the cheap seats, and I'm not really that bothered.
No, me too.
People know that.
And
so.
I don't think this is actually new, even, because last time I took a flight, you know, they do gold and then silver and then bronze and then blue, and then I think you get tin, paper, cardboard or whatever.
I think it's just the way it's been, where it communicated, didn't go down too well, but I don't think it's going to make much difference, really.
So, okay, and British Airways again making the news that they've had a pop at Philip Hammond.
They have, yeah. We had the budget this week. I've talked about this many, many times over the years, about air passenger duty. It's the highest air tax in the world. I mean, it's absolutely extortionate, really, if you see the amounts that we pay out each year, something like £3.5 to £4 billion in air passenger duty, and that you'll pay that when you're going back to England, not when you fly back in to Spain. That's when you pay it there. So it's not just a tax on UK nationals. It's anybody departing the UK pays this tax. It is a very large sum of money, and it's, in our view, we're going through this terrible economic conditions at the moment in the UK, and taxing flying is the worst possible message to send out to people. It makes people less likely to come here because they have to pay it when they go home, and especially on long haul flights, people like the Americans, who tend to spend a lot of money when they come over to the UK, but when they see how much tax they're paying, it does put them off coming. So it's pretty short-sighted, really, to have this tax. And in the budget this week, we were hoping that he would announce that he was going to cut the tax quite substantially, by 50%, in fact, because they have been making noises there, thinking about doing that. But no, all he's done is said he's not going to put it up for a few years, which isn't really good enough. And as you say, the chief executive of British Airways, IAG, has called this, I said, a dull and uninspiring budget from a dull and uninspiring chancellor, which is pretty hard-hitting, isn't it, really? but it does need to be done. Something needs to be done about this, because other countries have had their versions of APD, and, for example, the Irish and the Dutch, and they actually did some research and thought, actually, this is doing more damage to our economy than the revenue we're raising. And what did they do? They got rid of it. But we continue with this ridiculously high tax. I mean, it's tempting for a government to keep it just because it's such an easy tax to collect. They don't have to do anything. They just know how many passengers an airline carries and bills them accordingly. But again, it is not good for the economy. It really isn't.
Presumably the environmental lobby are all for it, though, and probably want to see higher duties.
Yeah. They would do, yeah. But if you think about it, I mean, it's not going to stop people flying, because if you just really crank up the taxes massively in the UK, people will just go elsewhere. They'll travel into, and they do this already actually, they'll fly from Schiphol in Amsterdam or Frankfurt, because if you have a really high tax, if you manage to do that, then you avoid the tax almost entirely, because you only pay a small, but on a short haul flight, the tax is a lot lower. And people do that. We know business people who actually ask travel agents to book them out from flights from the continent. So it hasn't stopped them flying, it's just stopped them flying out of the UK.
Well, we'll have to watch and wait that one. But that's a tax that you only pay outbound from the UK.
Exactly. Right. Okay. Yeah, exactly. So on a short-haul flight, it's £13. On a long-haul flight, it's considerably higher than that.
Okay. And some news this morning, actually, that holidaymakers aged over 55 are the least likely to check they've got winter travel insurance, and they really need to. Is that the story?
Yes, they do. That's actually our story. Indeed. Mm. Yes, quite right. We do research every year around people's, in terms of travel insurance, a whole range of issues, really. And one of the questions we ask is very specifically relating to winter sports. Obviously, we're coming up to that season now, and ask people, one of the questions is, do you check the terms of your policy? Because if you are going skiing or snowboarding, wherever it happens to be, you do need to make sure that you have specialist insurance for that, because standard insurance often won't cover you. So if you have an accident on the slopes and you haven't got the right insurance, you can end up with a rather large bill. And we were quite surprised, actually. We did find that over the 55s, about 4 in 10 of those just never bothered to check their insurance. They just assumed they'd be okay. Well, you come up with a rather nasty surprise if you have an accident, break your leg, which unfortunately is not uncommon, is it, when you go skiing, and find that your insurance doesn't cover you. I'll give an example of that. If you need to be flown from the slopes to a local hospital, the bill for that's around about €5,000.
Wow.
And now if you're insured, that's the insurance company's problem, not yours. But if you're not, it very much is yours.
And that won't come off your European health insurance card?
No, exactly. If you're in France or Italy or Spain, health services are very good, aren't they? If you can use your eHIT card, they're fine, but they won't cover you for the bill to be flown off the slopes.
Okay. And you know, a lot of the companies say you can buy one policy that'll cover everything the whole year round. Do you have to look really carefully?
Yeah, you really do. I mean, you could get if you bought a rather expensive policy which covered you for absolutely everything, I don't think you need to worry. But if you've just got a standard, as I do, a standard annual policy, if I was going to go skiing, I would not use that. I'd tell them I was going and pay an additional premium. So don't assume. Annual policies generally won't, unless you've paid a lot of money for them.
Okay. Sean, of course, today is Black Friday. Are there lots of bargains to be had for travellers?
Yes and no. Yeah, well, it's obviously, we have sales in the travel industry just like any other. So there will be some bargains out there, but they get snapped up quite quickly. But I did find one myself, which I was really chuffed about. Eurostar had a special thing for travel during January and February, and they said basically you pick whether you go out in the morning or the afternoon, and then they will tell you 2 days before you go exactly what time you're going. But I got a return ticket to Paris for £38, which
is
pretty good, isn't it?
That's
amazing. I love the Eurostar,
yeah,
but it's generally very expensive. But for £38, I'm not that fussed, really. If they tell me 2 days before I'm going out at 5 o'clock in the morning, I know I'm going, and if I come back at 10:30 at night, I'm not that bothered either. But for £38, looking forward to
that. That's pretty good going. Well done. So I suppose it's just, look carefully and see what bargains are there.
Well, you need to get, as with all of these things, there generally aren't that many of them, so you just need to get in very fast to get the best ones.
Okay, lovely. Well, anywhere this weekend, Sean?
No, just staying in the UK.
Staying at home. All right,
London, to be specific.
Fantastic. Well, as usual, we'll have more from Sean at the same time next Friday here on Talk Radio Europe. Until then, Sean Tipton at ABDA. Thanks for joining us, and enjoy your weekend.
TRE. Talk Radio Europe.